We're back again on YouTube Live, Twitch, and Facebook Live, and all kinds of podcast providers out there, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Podcaster Castro, Podbean, anything you're looking for, you can find us. This is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby, and it is another Victory Monday, so let's let the music play. Oh yeah, I love playing that song 2 weeks in a row, which is pretty awesome. First two-game win streak of the season for the Eagles as they end up beating the New Orleans Saints a good 40-29 on Sunday at the Link. First home win. Go Birds.
Yes. Go Birds. Go Birds, man. The score line fool you. The game wasn't that close.
No,
it was a good Sunday.
They tried to give it away a little bit in the third quarter.
A little bit.
And, well, not really the third quarter. It was going from
the end
of the third quarter going into the fourth quarter was the most tense I've ever been. I was sitting there like this was the most relaxed I'd been for an Eagles game.
Okay.
Until the end of the third, that possession at the end of the third, and then what ensued at the beginning of the fourth. And then I literally reached for my scotch. I said, I can't do this anymore. I yelled out some profanities. My wife thought I fell down the stairs or something. She came down, are you okay? And I'm like, it's the Eagles, man. And she's like, well, yeah. I thought they were blowing them out. They were.
They were, man. It's like we definitely tried to blow that game. That's what we could. We didn't. You know, a lot of teams get relaxed like that a little bit down the stretch. You know, it happens in all sports. You know, a team is up 30 and then all of a sudden they're only up 15 and you're like, what just happened? All of a sudden some kid that hasn't played all year scores, you know, shoots 5 threes in a row and you're like, what is going on? You're in a frenzy, but that didn't happen all the way.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was
good win. Good win. Good first home win. We really needed it, definitely for the confidence. You know, Saints have played people tough. Like I said, you know, this is the same team that beat the Bucks that whooped us. So we had to take our credit for beating them as well, too. They didn't have Kamara, granted, but so what? Go Birds.
You know, but they did have Ingram, and Ingram played really, really well. Kamara would have been another factor, but I don't know the way this defense is playing right now, how much of a factor he would have been in this game. It wouldn't have been, I don't think it may have been as big a blowout. But I think that they would have beaten him with or without Kamara. I think the Saints are a good team. Defensively, they need a little bit of help. I mean, and then you've got Simeon, quarterback, and he played admirably, especially in that third quarter, but he's not going to take them anywhere. So I think it was a game that not only the Eagles should have won, they had to win. In this scheme, or this point of the season, The way things are right now and the way they've struggled early on, this was getting to the meat of the schedule. This is a must win, and they pulled it off and in amazing fashion. You know, they jump out early like they did against the Broncos, and then they just really held on, and that was nice to see. You know, granted, we can talk a little bit of the negatives that happened in that fourth quarter, but overall, if the Eagles aren't up 33-7. You know, going into that fourth quarter, then it wouldn't have mattered. But they were at that point through some amazing play in the first half. I texted you. I said this is probably the best first half all season. That complete first half, 27-7 at the end of the half, and it was a complete to end on the big play, Slay interception return for a touchdown. again,
100%.
Two weeks in a row, he comes up big with a huge play. And in the scheme of things, seeing how the Saints came back, it was definitely a massive play. So
yeah, that's a good point, man. It was like both of them were significant plays because you would have felt that the other team started to get a little momentum, and then that slay play happened. Same thing in Denver. You started to think, oh, Denver's starting to get a little momentum because we jumped on them 14-0, and then we fumble, they score, you know, and then you go, it's a little close, and then, boom, we get that kind of busted open, you know, because we had a couple field goals, you know, some stagnant drives, so you go, oh, here we go, because we come out touchdown, you know, get a couple touchdowns for our first score. Yeah, man, I can see how it definitely got a little worried, but that slay play kind of made, you know, if you were a Saints fan, you were worried because it looked ugly all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
After that slay play. Same thing with the Broncos game. When Slay returned it, all of a sudden the game looked ugly or out of reach for the other team.
In the Broncos game, it pretty much locked it up. I mean, in this, it did break the Saints spirit going into the half. And then they came out in the second half, and the Eagles shut them down on their first drive as well. So it looked like, okay, we're going to get more of the same, because I always worry coming out in the third quarter, what defense is Gannon going to play? And Gannon wasn't the problem this week as far as the Eagles go. It was Sirianni, and he actually admitted during his press conference, I got too conservative in the third quarter, because the team that really wasn't going three and out in the first half, they were moving the ball in just about every single drive. Not always coming away with touchdowns, but what was amazing was that they were putting up points, you know, walking away with it before the slate, you know, pick. It was 20-7 going into half. That's good.
That's good.
And Sirianni said he came up flat and he was too conservative. And you could tell in the game calling in the third quarter was they were doing the underneath throws. They're just trying to run the ball. The Saints know they're trying to run the ball. I think what really hurt them in the third quarter was the loss of Jordan Howard, because Sanders coming off the injury, I don't want to rag on him too hard because, again, he's been out, but he was looking shaky. I mean, he had the fumble on the goal line that led to their only touchdown in the first quarter, and that sucked. And then he almost turns it over again, and then he gets benched, and Howard was just all over the place when he got hurt and landed on his head. But it was oddly enough, it's not his head that's hurt, it's an ankle sprain, but it looked to me like he broke his neck. it was an ugly looking fall.
Man, Sanders came out and you can tell he was eager to get back on the field by the way he was running. This is the hardest I've seen him run all season as far as getting downhill. He still had that little hesitation, that little Shady McCoy in the backfield hesitation before he goes, which was really different from how Howard runs. He's kind of just straight to it, at point A to point B type of runner. And I think that works better for our offensive line. As you can tell, it's like when Howard's in the game, he's just a different back. Yeah. You just see Eagles helmets go 5 yards down the field when he's running the ball. You just somehow, some way, it's a flow to it that when he gets the ball, it's a flow to it. I thought with Sanders, I thought he was really eager to get into the game because on both his fumbles, well, the first one was nice little punch out, but he's so busy. He's so eager. He wants to do well immediately because this team has put up 200 yards the last couple of weeks, rushing total as a team, you know, 200 yards per week. So, you know, he's ready. I know he's been hearing the rumors. He's probably seen the memes too. Like, man, now they want to run the ball now that I'm out, you know, to give him the ball in that situation. You know, I kind of put that one, you know, you have to secure the ball, but maybe you should have went with a hotter back at that moment because the pressure is on. So maybe that's a bad time to put a guy that's just coming. He's not a super experienced back, you know, but, you know, it's a bad time to maybe put a guy in coming fresh off an injury that hasn't really took a good hit yet. And he has the ball, what, like the 3 yard line or so. So let's ask. I could be asking a lot, but you still have to secure that ball.
And in the grand scheme of things, it could have been devastating. They did score a touchdown, but it could have been much worse. And then the second one. At that point, when I'm down around my goal line and your back's already fumbled, I know it's a show of faith to build his confidence, but you've got Howard and Scott that have been playing really well. You know, you don't want to second guess the coach in that situation. I know what you're trying to do. But after that almost fumble, that was a point where it was like, all right, you got to take him out. And they did. And Howard, before he got injured, you know, and hurt his ankle, He was 10 for 63 yards, 10 carries for 63 yards. So a 6.3 average. So he was killing it, you know, and to his credit, Sanders finished the game with 16 carries and 94 yards, almost hit the century mark. As a team, the Eagles again rushed for 50 carries for 242 yards, 4.8 yards per carry average, and three touchdowns, all three by the quarterback, Hurts. So it's again another, and against what you pointed out in your keys to victory last week, the number one team against the run. So, right. And I think here's my take on it. I think I'm glad that Sanders had a great game, but going forward, now that we don't have Howard in there, Sanders, they're two different types of running backs. They're two different types of running styles. And you said something last week that kept popping into my head during this game, and it was, this team is built to run. Their offensive line loves to run block. You can see it the way they move. Mailata, Lane Johnson, they love to push people out of the way. Mailata, especially right. during this game, was back on his right. good side. He's back on his right position, and he is now becoming a force as far as the run game is concerned. Pass game, he's a little shaky, but run is his thing. Sanders dances a little bit. He's a little bit like Shady was, where he's looking for the really big hole to make a big explosive play, whereas Howard, he just hits the hole. And he hits the hole, and he gets through it so quickly that he's gone for 10 yards or more. I mean, he was really, those 10 carries were quality carries. It seemed like every time he got the ball, he was hitting the hole, and he was gone, whereas Sanders tends to wait a little bit, and sometimes it can hurt him where he'll get caught behind the line. Not ragging on him. I'm not by any means. I'm just saying since we're gonna, it looks like we're gonna be without Howard for at least next week, if not the game after, going into the bye to rest him out. We're gonna need the best we can get from Sanders and Scott, and even Gainwell, if they're gonna win these next two games. And by any stretch of the imagination, I think that they can win these next two games. They're against the Giants and the Jets, but nothing is a given in this league. We keep seeing the top teams in the league go down week after week inexplicably to bad teams. So we're not immune to that. It's just we got to keep the momentum going is all I'm saying.
Yeah, speaking of Gainwell, and this is pretty random, but this is something that we talked about over the weekend. And then after I seen it the first time, I just started to pay attention to it, and I was like, maybe we need a change here. And that's in our return game with Rager. It's not even just punts, because that Saints punter was punting his ass off. His returns, even on kickoffs, I just feel like we aren't getting anything out of our return game. And I was thinking, man, maybe if Gainwell can maybe return some kicks. He's explosive. Maybe if he can return some punts and kicks. You know, I know kicks, you know, punt return, they are specialists to be able to, you know, hunt that ball, snag it out of the air. That actually does take a little skill. You know, people think anybody can do it, but you know, there is a certain reason why only certain people do it. But kickoff is a little more relaxed. You're not going to return it every time, because most people are kicking it out of the end zone if it goes 5 yards deep. But I would like to see Gainwell just kind of randomly, man. I know he was inactive last week, but I'd like to see Gainwell in our return game just to see if we can get a spark there. Because we don't even depend on it. We get nothing out of our return game. So to my understanding, kick return, punt return, have we had any significant returns this year? That's a part of the game too, you know.
A huge part, if you're a total team, if you're going to be a playoff team, it comes in all phases of the game. We've known that as football fans, offense, defense, and special teams, getting the blocked field goals that we've had, getting blocked punts, and getting big returns. And I don't know what to say about Jalen Rager at this point. Bust is the thing that comes to mind. He is not showing anything. So you look at the receiving again, another game where he had one reception for -1 yard. That's unacceptable, because he's not producing. And you can't say, well, nobody is, because you look at Devontae Smith's numbers, and it's only 61 yards because we're running the ball. But still, we're running the ball, and you've got Goddard with 5 catches for 62, Smith with 4 catches for 61, and you got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with a catch for 23 yards. So what are you doing, Jalen Rager? you getting shown up by J-Jaw for crying out loud in a game.
He had a key catch. J-J had a key catch too.
I think I texted you. We have a J-Jaw sighting out there because right. I didn't know that man existed anymore. Another second rounder draft pick that has not really produced. So Jalen Reagor,
Howie's Angels.
Yeah, exactly. So Jalen Reagor for me is in watching him doing during the returns. What I was having a hard time with was ball is kicked and it's inside the five, and then he fair catches it, or not fair catches it, but he tries to return it and ends up going to the 10. I'm like, why don't you let that go into the end zone? And then the next time the ball is coming down on the 10, he's got nobody around him, and then he lets it bounce. He lets it land. So he's making the wrong decision every time, and then it gets down on the 5-yard line. So that one, you're like, well, why didn't you catch it and then try to save them field position? So you're right. I think Gainwell is an option. Greg Ward is an option.
I think, forgot about Greg Ward.
Yeah, I mean, we've got guys that can do, and I think it has to be noticed. I don't know when we get to the point where not only does Jalen Reagor lose his returner status, is when does he lose his spot in the receiving core? Because Quez Watkins, I saw during this game, he had moments where he was open. He didn't have any receptions this game, which was a shame. But I saw him open a couple of times, and I think Hurts just didn't see him just on some of the replays. I think Quez, if he's lined up in that in Reagor's spot, I think he can't do any worse.
Right.
And I think they're trying to get Reagor involved, doing these reverses and doing these little flat passes to him, but it's not going anywhere. So it has to stop. It just you can't keep doing it. What is it? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We're not getting different results. So
you know who we are getting different results from, and that's Edwards, man. You know, yes. Edwards kind of that was a hell of an interception, first of all.
Look at that.
And I thought that really, propelled us, man, sparked us. You got a 3-and-out, and then we come in, we don't get anything going. A little 6-play drive, and then they get the ball back. First play, boom, interception. First play. And then we go right down and score. Then we, 3-and-out them and then score again. So that was that interception, led to, two touchdowns. Just we had really good starting field position in that first half very often. So I was a little disappointed that we came away with a lot of field goals on a lot of those plays. I know we got a little cute in the third quarter where we just started doing plays that didn't really work for us, like some of those screen passes to Reagor that just didn't really work for us all year. We started running the RPO a little bit like how we used to. I feel like when Howard's in the game, it's a little more straightforward with how they run. I wish they treat Sanders like that as well too. But yeah, man, for all the linebacker struggles we've had this year, for Edwards to come out and get us an interception in that third drive, and then we go down and get a touchdown, you're like, hell yeah. 3-and-out, boom, another touchdown. So we sitting there 14-0, Hurts with, two touchdowns in the first quarter. You go, man, this could be, they could run away with this. And, Saints ain't really do until we had the fumble a couple drives later, like we already talked about, second quarter. It was nothing from the Saints. So, shout out to Gannon. I got to give him his props. Besides that extremely short field that we gave him with the fumble, he gave up nothing for the most part in that first half, man.
Right.
Trevor Siemian looked like he was in trouble, like he was going to have a long day if he didn't get that short field. Even when they did score, that was a tough pass that Siemian threw. That, I know they tried to say, oh, good pass is where he meant to throw it. Man, that was a bad ball. And if Edwards is even turned around, that's a 50-50 ball. And it's kind of an acrobatic catch. Siemian's players made a lot of acrobatic catches on that day. This wasn't no straight down the pike. I mean, the one touchdown he threw was a strike to Callaway. But other than that, the tight end play in the end zone for their first one.
Troutman. Yeah, Troutman has been coming up big for them, and he actually had that huge catch in the fourth quarter that put him down near the goal line.
Yeah,
and when I mean that was a 50-50 ball, two Eagles around him, and I can't get mad at the Eagles defense for giving that up. The guy made the catch, he got hit, and I think Maddox, I'm not sure if it was Maddox or Harris, had his hand on the ball trying to pull it loose. And it got hung on to it. Yeah. So you got to give credit where credit is due. And I agree. I've not got any harsh words to say for Gannon at all. Mm-hmm. I thought he stayed with the man-up defense as much as possible. Not a lot of bump and run coverage, but how do you like the different blitz packages that we saw from Gannon in the first quarter? You had Avante Maddox blitzing in off the left side, coming out of nowhere, and it kept Simeon just, you know, off his game, where it really, like you said, the entire first half, except for the touchdown that was a result of the Sanders fumble, the Saints did absolutely nothing, and it was all attributed to Gannon. I think what let Gannon down was that offense going completely conservative in the third and start of the fourth quarter, giving them bad field position, going three and out, putting the defense right back on the field, and letting Simeon get a little bit of confidence being on the other side of the 50. You know, without that, I don't think there's a comeback. So Sirianni knows that, and I think the good thing is going into the Giants game, that's something that we shouldn't see a repeat of. If they get up on the Giants, you step on their necks, and you don't let your foot up until the clock reads double zeros. That's the key. But real quick, you said to TJ Edwards, I was bringing up the stat, 10 total tackles, 7 solo from the linebacker. He has been playing out of his head, and we've talked about the Eagles linebacker situation being a weakness, but not anymore. Now, this guy, and of course, he got rewarded today. I don't know if you saw this. The Eagles signed TJ Edwards to a 1-year contract extension through next year worth a total of $3.2 million with $2.15 guaranteed. So congratulations to Edwards, and there could be many more to come, because the Eagles do reward, you know, that's one thing Howie does do. I rag on Howie. He rewards players when they perform. Also this week, we saw it is we signed our tight end with a really nice favorable deal to a contract extension. So Dallas Goedert's going to be around for a while. And then we signed Avante Maddox. To an extension. You know, the season's not even over, and Howie, I'll give him credit on these, because you know I've ragged him a lot this year. And of course, it's easy not to rag when we're winning. But anyway, he's locking up our talent. These guys have been playing well all season, Goddard, Edwards, and Maddox, and they deserve these extensions. So, yeah, it's amazing. The defense played out of their minds. The comeback, I can't even rag them on. Because like you said, the Galloway play was amazing. That was a great throw. And then even Simeon, they backed up. They brought pressure on him when he ran for his touchdown. And they just left the middle wide open. Again, but the defense been out there. Three and out, three and out, three and out. Mm-hmm. The thing that really that changed it for me was at the end of the game was when they're down, what was it? They were down, the Eagles were up 33-19 because the Saints had gone for two once, didn't get it. And then their kicker missed an extra point. So they only got 12 points out of their two touchdowns. But they're right there down in the Eagles area again. I think it was it fourth and four on around the 20-yard line? Somewhere, something like that. But they go for the field goal at that point. And we were texting back and forth going, well, that's odd.
Couldn't believe it.
Because they're down by two touchdowns. And if they get this, they're still going to be down two scores, and it's going to be a touchdown and two-point conversion and a field goal. Right. That's still a lot, whereas if you go for it and you get the touchdown, then you're only down one score. So I was I was baffled that Sean Payton went for the three. Made a big difference because the Eagles come down, and finally, after being conservative, they knew their backs were against the wall, and then Hurts, like he's done, Even in the Chargers game, which the Eagles lost, Hurts put the game on his back again, let him down the field, and then just the touchdown play we talked about over text was just a thing of beauty. I texted you, got to have a first down here, because if they don't get a first down on that play, they're going to either have to kick the field goal or turn it back over to the Saints. So they had to get a first down, and not only did he get a first down, he broke friggin' Granderson's ankles getting that first down.
Man, that was a hell of a play, man. Clutch play, because the offense was stagnant. And even Hurts said in his interview, you know, I was frustrated. You know, it was good to get that touchdown because I was frustrated, you know, by how we performed. And they basically didn't have a quarter, a touchdown offensively since the first quarter.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, you have Slays, you know, pick six, and that's a touchdown there. But, you know, a lot of field goals. Elliott was working it.
Yeah.
Elliott made a lot of great kicks, too, man. We had four field goals.
And what, 250 yards?
450, 37, 33, and a 47.
Yeah, like, 47, shit. Yeah. I knew two of them were really deep. And so you got, man. I mean, that was so huge because if he misses one of those, it could put him in a bind. And you're right. Man. You bring up a great point. The Eagles didn't score a touchdown after that first quarter. And, you know, they put up two field goals to in the second, and then the interception return. You're right. So until that fourth quarter, you're exactly right. They kind of sat back and rested on their laurels a little bit once they got out to a lead, and that almost hurt him.
Also can't skip over the fact that we lost Slay in the second half, and you know I think that attributed to some of Simeon's success, because once Slay went out, they were able to throw the ball a little more with ease. But when Slay and Nelson was there, you know, that was a big change. We lost Taylor and Bradley. Went out in that game too. So we lost a couple linebackers. You know, we lost three defenders, two in the second half, and then, you know, Taylor went out in the first quarter. But, and then, like you said before, we lose Howard, which was the backbone of our running game, Slay and Bradley, mainly Slay. We've lost some key pieces moving forward in our offense and defense. So I can see how that attributed to because we had that 6.3 yard carrier and Howard in there. Maybe we do have a couple more touchdown drives. So you never know. You never know. Because, you know, Sanders didn't really get going until probably about the fourth quarter when he had a couple really key runs. And we go, okay, you know, thanks for bringing it home.
I agree. That is going to be tough going forward, too, because I understand that Davion Taylor is going to be out he's going to be on injured reserve. And so he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. So that's a big blow because he's really been coming on in that linebacker course. So we saw a lot of Alex Singleton, and I'll give him credit. Singleton played well because, again, Gannon's got these guys blitzing. I thought I saw more blitz packages in this game than I have all year long. So if we keep that up, and Singleton can play to his strength, because that's what Gannon always preaches, play to your player's strengths. Well, Singleton's not a great cover linebacker. But you put him in the gap and let him go after the quarterback. He's a little bit better. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more aggressive. So we're going to see more Singleton. We'll definitely, you know, have to see what happens with Bradley. I think he'll be back in there next week. I don't think he's a long-term. I think Slay is too. Okay. I think the biggest injuries out of that game is we're going to lose Howard for a game and then Taylor. So we'll see where it goes from there. It was a phenomenal game. The last of the stats, that we held Trevor Siemian to 214 yards passing. Ingram had a good day, 16 carries for 88 yards, but that was just about it. 5.5 a carry. So that's, to me, is like that was the only thing we really gave up. And that was mostly in the third quarter when he kind of went off and had that huge run. He had that 28-yard one run that got him down into the red zone there. So it made a big difference when they got that score to make it 33-13. But then receiving-wise, Tre'Quan Smith had a good day. Troutman, again, 58 yards and a touchdown. And Callaway, a touchdown as well that we mentioned earlier. So, yeah, pretty good performance. All that coming in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, it was really dominant for the Eagles defense. Good stuff. So we notched the second win in a row, first win at home, and now people are talking, not me. We've been talking a little bit before this. Playoffs, the word playoffs, you know.
Mufasa? Mufasa. Say it again. Playoffs. That's how we signed off last week. So
we did it 2 weeks ago. We said, look, we saw this schedule, and we said if they win the Broncos game and the Saints game, they're going to be right back in it. And, you know, they're sitting here now at 5-6. They can get to 500 if they've got two games at MetLife in New York, just down the road from the link. Two games in a row where they're going to be sitting at home and then just going on a quick trip to the Giants. And the Giants play tonight. So Giants coming on a short week. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles are already preparing. They get to watch the Giants play tonight, get a little learn a little bit about them. So it does play in their advantage. So they like we said 2 weeks ago, if they come out of this and go into that bye 7-6, playoffs are a definite reality, especially when you look around the league right now and you look at the standings. A lot of 5-5 teams out there, some 6-5 teams out there, all of them ripe for the taking. So you got the Vikings. The
Cowboys having these weird losses.
You know what? I really, that was my lock of the week. I really thought that as bad as the Saint or as the Chiefs defense is, that the Cowboys would run amok with them because I thought they had the better defense. And I think the Cowboys played pretty decent defensively.
They did.
But what I did not realize was the stats that they were showing the Chiefs' last four games defensively. They've been locking people down. They were averaging somewhere in the 30s or the high 20s in points per game up until the last four games, and they've been averaging around 19 points, holding teams to 19 points a game. So I'm like, okay. Oh, I didn't realize the Chiefs were actually starting to play. So they're right back in it. The Chiefs are with that win over the Cowboys. Huge win. And before then, that all the pregame shows, like Terry Bradshaw was going wild on the Cowboys, saying the word Super Bowl. And I was like, well, I think the Cowboys have got a good team, but there's a lot of good teams in the NFC right now. I wouldn't say any of them, Eagles right. included, are Super Bowl contenders just yet. I wouldn't even talk the Packers. I mean, look at they lose to the Vikings at home in a division game. There is no team right now in the NFC that's unbeatable. You name them if they are. Certainly not the Rams. Certainly not the Rams. The Rams have been. They get all these players. They go on and get Von Miller. They got Jalen Ramsey. They've got names, and yet they're still losing. They're still losing games. So it's like, who is the dominant team in the NFC? Show them to me, and I'll declare them the Super Bowl contender. But there isn't one right now.
I don't think there's a dominant team. Let me think for a second before I say this. I don't think there's a dominant team, period. We thought certain teams were dominant, and then you lose key pieces. Like, you know, the Titans, you know, you thought they were going to be dominant. You lose King Henry, and then you turn around and lose to Houston.
Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah, again. Yeah,
Houston, even a close. Like Houston kind of beat them. Like, it's just, you know, Houston didn't come from behind and have a miracle win. No. They were up pretty much the whole game.
And then that kind of made me think about, you know, the Saints took the Texans to the Saints took the Titans to the wire and just barely lost by two. And then now we play the Saints. We kind of go, well, the Saints aren't really that great. So that means the Titans aren't really that great without Derrick Henry. And again, they barely beat the Saints by two, and it was a missed two-point conversion that lost the Saints that game. Right. And then they get beat demolished by the Texans. So right now, the number one team in the AFC is the Patriots of all teams.
You know that's not a far cry, man, because you have the Bills. Man, what's happened to the Bills, the Jaguar game, and the Colts game.
Jonathan Taylor runs all over him. So a lot of people were showing that Wentz play where he did like he did for the Eagles, where he ducked and ran. But then you look at his passing numbers. He's barely over 100 yards passing. That was all Jonathan Taylor. And he's killing it right now for the Colts. I wish I had drafted him in fantasy. Holy crap.
He's having a hell of a season.
He's
having a hell of a season, man. So, yeah, man, there's no dominant teams, man. Every time you think a team is dominant, something goofy happens. Like, you know, you have the Bucks, you know, losing to the goofiest one was the back. You lose to the Saints. You lose to Washington. That's crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody say, man. If you pick Tyler Henke to beat Brady, you know, man, we got to do some more talking.
I thought Heinicke just worked on breaks. I didn't realize he was actually a quarterback in the NFL. Man, but yeah,
he did it last week too. They pulled out a win against the Panthers. Thought they had something going, and they fought right back and played well. So, you know, actually, you know, all of the teams in our division, are actually trending upwards.
Yes,
Washington, even with the loss of Chase Young. Giants, they've just been playing well in general, and you get Saquon back tonight, and then you have the Cowboys jumped out to where they were looking like one of the best teams in the NFL, and now the Eagles are on a two-game winning streak. So,
you
know, NFC East may be back.
I was just
a little respect.
I was just about to say the same thing, is that, as an Eagles fan, I'm not completely comfortable with the way the Giants and the football team, Washington football team, are playing, mm-hmm. because they're looking, yeah, like they're looking like they're all, everybody's on a roll, except the Cowboys mm-hmm. are struggling, losing to Denver and Kansas City. They don't want to play any more AFC West teams, that's for sure. Right. And neither do we. Right. Losing to the Chargers and losing to the Raiders mm-hmm. was not fun. And games we should have won. And that's the one thing, was when you look back, and I don't want to look back too far, is the missed opportunities the Eagles had this year, like losing the 49er game, should have won that game, should have won the Chargers game. They could be sitting a lot more prettier than they are right now, and they'd be right in it. And they still are. But it's so key now, coming into these two games before the bye, for them to go. So great win against the Saints, 40-29, wasn't even that close. The team gets to celebrate. They're on a roll. Two games on the road in New York for the next few weeks. So go Birds. Let's see what happens. So let's roll into our next segment. This one's really great because this one is, I think, one of my favorites that we do every week, and it is called
Hell to the No, to the No, 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 No. Hell, no, no, to the No, No. Hell to the No, No. To the No, 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 No.
This is one of my favorites because we're always looking on the Hell to the No segment to find something out there, hopefully Eagles related, that just makes you go, oh man, oh, that ain't right. That ain't right. There's a few things this week, but this one was my favorite. I don't know if you saw this, right? Mm-mm. All right, so check this out. This is a Twitter feed from Fletcher Cox, and it starts with this guy named Joe Donahue at the very bottom. He puts a tweet out a couple of weeks ago about Fletch's play, and it says, disgusting POS, Fletcher Cox. How about saving your money that you get paid way too much, child, for not effing producing, and maybe start effing concentrating on football score. Horrible grammar. Kick your effing overpaid, stupid effing, and then goes on.
Et cetera.
It was a horrible, horrible thing to say to Fletch. Mm-hmm. But Fletch is not one to just take it. I don't care if it's Twitter or whatever. He comes back with, now, you can get your teeth kicked in talking to me like that. Better mm-hmm. stop hiding behind this keyboard, sucker. You know where I work at, boy, which is just awesome. So he calls him out. Mm-hmm. It gets better. This young lady named Jess on OnlyFanatics, that's her Twitter handle, replies to Fletcher Cox and says, that man used a lot of words and barely made a sentence, clearly talking about Joe Donahue. But Fletch doesn't see it that way. And he comes back with, same reason you only post neck up pics. And then he puts in four crying emojis. He said that he says, I got time today.
Man.
So he calls her out when she was actually on his side. So she comes back and says, bro, I was making fun of him, not you, with a really big sad face. Fletch comes back to his credit. My bad. I owe you a signed Eagles jersey. We can make this happen. Oh, my God. You got to love it. You got to love it.
That's cool, man. That's crazy, though, man.
He owns up to
the trolls, man. Don't respond to the trolls. Oh. But yeah, he came back at her quick. The same reason you only post neck up pics. I got time today. You know, that is the last thing you want to hear a person say, like, I got time today.
Oh, I know. It was great. It'd
be cool. You know, it was you ever seen the original? Because I got time today. You ever seen the original one?
Yeah. I mean, you saying I hope
because,
so
many I got people, time today.
Yeah. Well, so many people borrow the original audio for things nowadays. It's hard to know what the original is for crying out loud. That was my Hell to the Gnaw this week. It had to be. I laughed so hard when I read that, as I love Fletch, and I know that he wasn't having it that day. And that poor girl, I hope she did get a signed Eagles jersey. So that's our Hell to the Gnaw segment. We've got one other segment left, and this is, again, another one of my favorites. I like doing the memes of the week. This first one, we actually got two that we're going to roll out on. This one I just had to show again. This is not a meme. This is just me showing the picture again of Jalen Hurts. All he did was, if you look at the first part of the picture, he just planted and then put his head down.
That's a heavy plant.
Yeah,
that's a heavy plant.
It was a stomp. And you see the picture after it, and Granderson is just on his ass. Oh, my gosh. It was so brilliant. I don't think I've ever seen ankles broke that bad in the NFL. On the NBA, maybe, but not in the NFL. And then he's in for a touchdown. Now, our second meme of the week I really like, and this one just cracks me up. This is not really a meme. This is, again, a picture from Jordan, but I consider it a meme. This is Jordan Mailata. Now, we didn't talk about this yet, but he was going up against Davenport, Marcus Davenport on his end, and he was owning him. And we texted back and forth when Davenport put a cheap shot on Jalen Hurts, who was trying to run out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Mailata takes exception and starts shoving at him. And we saw this brewing. You know, we were texting back and forth. They're going at it. You know, they were getting a little bit chippier each time. And then finally, Davenport tries to come through the line. Mailata just lays on him, and they just end up wrestling on the ground. And Mailata is like, I just said he had enough. He had enough of that kid, and he was, and he just kept shoving him down.
Yeah, man.
You don't go at Jordan Mailata. This guy will plant you. I don't care how big you are. And what I love about this meme, if you will, this is from his Twitter. So Jordan Mailata just put down, when push comes to shove, with a little devil emoji.
Man.
But look at where his location is.
It's IHOP.
It's a pancake.
That's pretty clever right there.
He puts his location as the International House of Pancakes because he pancaked Davenport. Beautiful pick. Jordan Mailata, we love you. You know I'm always high on Jordan Mailata. Even when he struggles, I know the potential that he has.
Yeah, no doubt.
And
no
somebody
doubt.
Brought up just some stats. I don't know if I have this handy. Let me see. Yeah, so here's something real quick, just while we're talking about Jordan Mailata. The Eagles made, this is another Twitter, but it's really surprising, which I didn't realize it. The Eagles made just 5 picks in the 2018 NFL draft, but 3 have signed extensions with the team since this season began. And that is tight end Dallas Goedert that we got in the second round, signed a 4-year, $59 million extension. Our fourth round pick, defensive end Josh Sweat, signed a 3-year, $40 million extension this year. And Jordan Mailata signed a 4-year, $64 million extension, and he was drafted in the 7th round. He was almost one of the last picks in the draft. So isn't that something? As much as we do rag on Howie for not being able to draft, that's some pretty good value for a second, a fourth, and a seventh rounder that we're still retaining, and they're key components of this team right now. So I will give credit where credit is due on that.
Yeah, they don't seem like they worked out for us. A nice little
draft. Exactly. So let me see. There was something. Oh, another stat that I haven't read, wanted to bring up, but I didn't have it handy. So we talked about the Eagles rushing and their great day they had, over 200 yards again. The Eagles have rushed for 175-plus yards in 4 straight games for the first time in 71 years. They last did it in 1950. Isn't that crazy?
Sheesh.
Some other stats while we're on it and before we wrap this up. Most rushing yards versus the Saints this year. Most rushing yards. 94, Miles Sanders. And that was this past Sunday. 74, Christian McCaffrey. Next, 69, Jalen Hurts this past Sunday. And 63, Jordan Howard this past Sunday. 3 of the top 4 teams to run on the Saints. The number one rushing defense in the NFL. 3 of the 4 are Eagles in the same game. Some other things I saw that were really neat this week. The Eagles' 50 rushing attempts this past Sunday are the most since they had 50 versus Washington in a 24-10 win in 1997. The most rushing TDs by a quarterback in their first 15 starts, 14 for Cam Newton, and then a 3-way tie, Josh Allen, Cordell Stewart, and Jalen Hurts at 11, which is where he's at right now. And then finally, Darius Slay is the first player in Eagles history with 3 return touchdowns in a 4-game span.
Damn.
So, yeah, big stuff going on right now. Big stuff. On a roll. That's all, and numbers don't lie. And that's why I saved all of those, because I was like, I got to mention that, because this is when a team is trending upward, the numbers show what they're doing. And it's not just one guy, it's every phase of the game. Now, if we can just get Jalen Reagor on track, then we'll be fine. He's the weak link.
I'm ready to move on from Reagor.
One of these kids is doing his own thing. It's not a good thing.
Man, I'm ready to move on from Reagor. Reagor and JJ, I was like, let's package them up and try to get somebody for them.
We might get something for Rager, but I doubt it at this point. Maybe a fifth rounder or sixth. They're not going to get anything for him. Yeah, it's just because his performance doesn't warrant it. I think it is just one of those things where he's going to end up cut eventually. If he doesn't do anything this season, he may not even make practice squad next year, because you know they're going to have to draft. They're going to have to draft a wide receiver again to get another weapon next to Devontae, because we got Goddard, which is playing great as a secondary weapon. But if they don't put Gainwell out there or Ward or Watkins soon, it's going to be a liability more than it is. So we'll see how it goes.
Goddard looking like he's top five. On to the Giants. Let's go.
I tell you what, God bless both the tight ends for the Eagles this year, Zach Ertz and Goddard. They're now not sharing catches, and look at them thrive. They're both the number one guy. I mean, Ertz almost had three touchdowns for the Cardinals this weekend. Two. He had 88 yards and a touchdown and two touchdowns. I have him in one of my fantasy leagues, one of my other ones. I'm so glad I have him. I know you've got him. So he's definitely right now showing his worth. He's still in his prime. We just had a situation where we were working on the offense. We knew he was going to leave at the end of this year. You got to pick one. You had to keep Goddard. You signed him to an extension. We know what we got. I loved Zach the time was here. We've already mentioned now how much we love Zach. But, yeah, Goddard's the guy, so it's good. All right, so our upcoming game coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern at MetLife Stadium. The 5-6 Eagles will take on, right now, the 3-6 Giants. We don't know how this game is going to go tonight. Right now, is there a score yet? Let's see. 7-3 Bucks.
7-3. Started the second quarter.
All right, so we'll be leaving here and going there to watch that. So just to get an idea of what we're facing, because I will say this, we're going to preview this game on Wednesday to break it down and see what the Eagles' chances are in this game. If they end up 3-7, that's good for the Eagles, but it also makes them dangerous. They're at home, and they've been playing decent defensively. So it's not a gimme. And we'll break it more into detail on Wednesday, this is looking decent right now, these next 2 weeks, and then you get a bye week for a rest. And then if you look at the rest of the schedule, not to jump too far ahead, it's all division. Two games against Washington, another one against the Giants, and then the Cowboys, and then that's it. So after the Jets, that we're playing nothing but NFC East. And that's the way the NFL sets it up to make things interesting, so... Do you have anything, any words you want to say before we wrap things up?
Nah, man, just a good win. Good win from the Birds, man. An expected win, but an impressive win up until, you know, team, we got a little lax towards the end, but that first half was impressive, 27-7. And, you know, I think we can build on this, man. And the Cowboys look real beatable, which means the division looks winnable. And no matter how big that six looks next to that five, you never know, man. You never know.
Right.
So, man, looking forward to the rest of the season. We're definitely looking forward to this Giants game, which is one of the best rivalries in football, man. Eagles-Giants history is, man, it's unmatched. Watch NFL films, it normally comes down to number one rivalry, Eagles-Giants, you know. So they have a lot of history there.
I agree. And that's the way the NFL set this up, to make these last – 5-6 games all exciting and interesting by having it being division opponents. So we've got a lot to look forward to no matter what the records are. You got to throw those records out, and then it all ends up with Dallas at the end of the season, and who knows where we'll be when that comes. But right now we know where we're at. Two wins straight. First home win. Sure. Both of them blowout wins. Is this team for real? We'll find out if they keep rolling. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Hey, if you got a comment or suggestion for us, you can reach us on email at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eagles there, at gmail.com. So shoot us an email if you've got something that you want to ask us or anything like that. Also, if you're watching us on Twitch or on YouTube or Facebook Live, give us a like or a follow so that you can always get reminded when we go live and you'll be able to see us. And also, if you're not listening to us on one of the podcast providers, you can do that. Give us a shot. You can take us wherever you want, you know, at work, in your car. If you're working from home, play us all the time. If you love the Eagles, and if you don't, if you just like two funny guys that talk football, you can do that too. So you can get us on all the major podcast providers, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Podcaster, Castro, Podbean. We're on it all. And if there's not one we want, just email us and we'll try to get on that one as well. So again, I am Lee, and with me always is Tubby for his final words of the show.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
and go Birds. We will see you on Wednesday again for the live stream.
Yes, sir.